Long ago, on the fields of battle, in the year 2017, two men met to decide once and for all what the most metal things in the universe are. But there can be only one. What's more metal? With Dan Weber, Noriko Art, and Brandon.
Yeah, hold up. Okay. Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Well, I'm just charging up. All right,
You're fucking daytime talk show host?
You got it. Bumblebee. Okay. Okay.
Dick tits.
chodes, micro pee-pee. Okay.
Eat ass.
Whole.
Testicle festival.
Eat ass. Lap the labes. Lapping labes.
Throat chode.
Throat chode.
Okay.
These are my warm-ups.
Throat chode.
Here we go see Noriko at a show. This is what he's doing in the back right before his set.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to What's More Metal, the podcast where two badass fucking mace-swinging comedians are... debate the most metal shit in the universe. With me, as always, is comedian Dan Weber.
Yo.
I'm Noriko Watt, also a comic, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. What? I just did a bunch of, like, exercises.
You're Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Ogre Town.
What would be the Oregon, what body part would Portland be?
If it was in America?
Yeah.
To that fucking swampy taint of America.
I was gonna think it's the third eye.
The third eye.
Oh, I was gonna say the nipple.
The nipple? Or the appendix.
Specifically a male nipple.
It could be the appendix.
Serves no purpose but gets sensitive for no fucking reason.
Good point.
We're a real furry mole on the back of because if Florida's the dick, then we're like way back. I'm saying we're like
that's true. I mean if we're looking at it that way.
You know? Yeah. If Florida's the dick point out front, like we're a mole on the back of the neck.
Yeah. We're a big, cheesy boil.
No,
full
we're
of hair.
we're the tree panning hole for the body that's America.
There we go. It's got the word tree in it too.
Yep. We are panning.
So we're right on topic. Coming to you from Portland, Oregon, America's trepanning hole. here at beautiful Carnival Studios, joining us as always, producer Randy.
Yeah.
Super metal producer Randy. There's
very little true about
this. Yeah. Beach Boys rule. Right, Randy?
Mumford and Sons.
Fuck you for that.
But this is What's More Metal. This is where we like to debate topic by topic and find the most metal shit in the universe. We were recently voted Better Than Sex by the Sandy Vaginas magazine. So pretty good time there. Pick it up if you don't have it. Randy, you don't have a copy of Sandy VGAs?
Oh, I'm a weekly subscriber.
No, of course.
It's the deep throat of podcasts.
It's true. Yeah. Us, yes. Yeah. So this week our topics are most metal over-the-counter medication and most metal lesser-known sport.
Yep.
Gotta say, lesser-known sport, real gold mine. Real.
Yeah, we probably should have split that one up.
Yeah.
Into like team sport and individual
or
sport
something.
Or something.
And I'm guessing by decade.
Or yes.
Not even by decade.
No. Well, because this is also lesser known sport that's still played.
That was still played to this day.
That was a caveat.
Yeah, we got a different one coming up that's ancient sport.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Anything off the table for that one?
No.
Trepanning, I guess.
I don't think so because they're all fucking brutal.
Yeah, pretty gnarly. Okay. I'm like the Inquisition. Is that a sport? I feel like it might be.
I was gonna say find the witch. I think that was.
I'm going Inquisition, and I'm voting on the red team on this one. Spain, in the red. But yeah, so this week we're gonna start with most metal over the counter medication.
Yep.
And we decide who gets to go first every week by doing the most metal thing possible, and that's rolling 20-sided dice. I got an 11.
I got a 16.
Oh, sweet six. I just
sweet 16.
I just like pretend I have a bunch for every number now. Yeah. No, but
16. 1666.
Wow. Yeah. You got too old for R. Kelly. Great role.
twice the age of Michael Jackson's boyfriend.
Yeah, you got it. You got R. Kelly's Hit the Road, You Old Hag.
You ain't even worth peeing on no more. Mm.
Get out of here. So, Dan, you get to go first in over-the-counter medication.
Okay.
Last week we did most metal patent med. And so this going to be anything after 1938 when you actually had to regulate medicine and prove it worked.
Sure.
So, Dan.
So I am going to choose... Mm-hmm. Extra strength Tylenol capsules.
Okay.
But specifically, the extra strength Tylenol capsules sold in 1982 in the Chicagoland area because a bunch of them were laced with cyanide and it resulted in 7 deaths.
Yes.
Not only that, the person that did it never got caught.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who did it. They think it was this dude, James Williams Lewis, who wrote Tylenol Company after the deaths started. And said, hey, if you don't want more people to die, send me $1 million.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking genius. And then they just showed up and arrested his dumbass because he sent it in the mail with the return address.
Yeah.
Because they had to know where to send the check because it's 1982, so it couldn't be in Bitcoin. Perpetrator was never found. It resulted in the recall of 1 million bottles of extra strength Tylenol countrywide.
Yep.
Which had, or 31 million bottles,
which
had a retail value at the time of $100 million, which would now be $250 million.
Damn.
That the Tylenol company lost.
Yeah. Wow.
There were also many copycat poisonings right after that. A couple of people in Seattle died of some laced Excedrin tablets.
Uh-huh.
And a couple other people, like, bought a bottle, but like got a little suspicious and took it in for testing, and they found cyanide in it. So there was just a grip of painkillers that really accentuated the killer in that one.
They killed the pain forever.
Killed the pain forever. Killed the pain of life itself.
There's a really great Dollop episode about the Tylenol recall. Episode 220, called "The Tylenol Man."
Yeah.
And you should definitely listen to that episode because it's fucking great. But also, that was going to be my choice, too. It was in my top two, for sure. That one's fucking sick. the guy that's just typing it up, give me $1 million, send it right back here to my house.
Yeah. Just write it a check payable to James Williams Smith. Get it right.
Yeah, that's right.
If you misspell it, I'm fucked.
Williams, 2 L's, like in kill.
Yeah.
that's fucking amazing. That also led to like the tamper-proof packaging and stuff. Yep.
All that annoying shit that's on a bottle now is because that guy had to poison. And they don't even make capsules anymore.
Right.
Because it was too easy to open and sprinkle a little cyanide and close them back up, and you can't tell. That's why there's those solid caplets now.
Yeah.
It's harder to doctor him up with cyanide.
Fucking goddamn it. See, it always takes one guy to just ruin everything.
Ruin everything.
With the exception of guns. where we're just like, well, there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. That's a fucking great one. I do love the guy that's just like, hey, I can open these capsulets and murder some folks.
Yeah, just but you know, not like, I mean... He wasn't even as brave as the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Because the Unabomber mailed shit to people he hated. This dude is just like, somebody's gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, just like random chance.
I believe, and if I'm remembering correctly, on the Dollop episode, they talk about how this crazy dude killed, like, in that area, killed a dude with cyanide, yeah. And they think that he was trying to cover his tracks and his murder by poisoning a bunch of people at random in Tylenol caplets and being like, oh, look, maybe it was...
Look, it might have been something else.
It might have just been a bunch of people getting it randomly, and yeah, so that's, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, yeah. I did read about that dude, but they couldn't find any evidence he'd ever been in the location where the pills were where the pills were bought.
Yeah.
So they couldn't form any real connection between the two things. But it sure is it must have been a real shitty coincidence for that dude, right? Like,
yeah.
Because everybody's like, man, you killed all these other people. He's like, nah, dude, I just wanted to kill that one dude. I put cyanide in his oatmeal. Like, yeah. I don't even know. I intended to murder that dude.
The best part of waking up.
Cyanide in your cup.
It's sleeping underground. Hey, oatmeal.
Quaker oats. Quaker because it gives you convulsions when you eat it.
Heart Quaker. Yeah, that was a great one. My choice for most metal over-the-counter medicine is Robitussin Nighttime.
Yep.
Bunch of reasons. It contains dextromethorphan.
Yeah.
Perfectly, which is like you can make meth out of it. It also the other ingredients like it speeds you up. It's like, you know, a stimulant. But then there's like acetylcholine and doxylamine, which block their sleep aids. They help you go to sleep. And then when they do that, they also block REM sleep. So if you've ever taken any kind of NyQuil or whatever, suddenly your REM sleep will kick back in when the drug starts wearing off. And then you'll have insane dreams that you can't wake up from.
Sure.
Where, I don't know, you fall through like the floor of a cellar door into a bunch of screaming faces made of clay. And your hand keeps pawing through the open screaming faces as you're trying to climb out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just talking, though.
Just spitballing on that one?
Yeah. So if you ever had NyQuil dreams. But mostly because, as every junior high kid worth his salt knows, you drink a whole bottle of it. You fry your ass off. You trip fucking sack.
Yeah.
So even a little bit makes you dream like fucking crazy. And if you take a lot of it, you dream with your eyes open, and it's fucking awesome.
That was actually my backup, Robitussin.
Yeah.
Because I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, did you Robofry 24/7?
Not 24/7, but certainly enough times until the fateful day. Where I drank an economy-sized bottle of Robitussin.
Okay.
And died. Almost fucking died. I almost had I definitely overdosed.
Yeah.
I was lying on the floor of my room dying, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm, you know, tripping balls, but it's not pleasant. It never is pleasant.
Wait. The dying wasn't pleasant.
Well, no. Robitussin frying is generally never pleasant.
Oh, okay.
It's not a good time.
Right.
But I was in the process of dying. And while dying, I was laying on my back, face up. Uh-huh. I couldn't move.
Right.
All my limbs shut down. And standing around my bed, I was hallucinating this, standing around my bed was every ex-girlfriend I'd had up until that point.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
Pointing at me and laughing and saying, oh, you fucking died from a cough syrup overdose, you fucking bitch. And, like, that went on for way, I don't know how long. Like, at least... an hour.
It was like at least a century and
at
a
least
half.
At least a lifetime.
At least 150 years.
Yeah,
it
was fucking awful. And then, I managed to crawl to the bathroom to puke my fucking brains out.
Yeah.
And then just laid on the floor in the bathroom for about 8 hours.
Nice.
And I was shaky for like about a week. Like,
nice.
It fucked me up.
Damn.
Yeah. And I never
But
did
it was
it
fun.
Again. No.
Okay, sorry.
Nope, not that one.
Okay.
I'd had a good time in the past.
You're all like 8 out of 10. We'll do again.
Yeah. Like, no. The thing about Robitussin, and I don't know how many, did you ever do it?
No. It was like friends of mine were doing it. I'm like, that seems like a bad idea.
It is
like,
a bad idea.
So, like, just chug a bunch of I've always been a nervous person, so I'm like, weed was like too much, like a lot. And so I was like, we're going to drink too much Robitussin. I'm like, nah.
Nah. So the thing about it was, like, it wasn't a very mental high, right?
Uh-huh.
So you're sitting there, like, I drank it, and then we were chilling on this, on the butte that was above COCC, hanging out with this other guy.
Oh, right above Cock.
Yeah, Cock on the Rock.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just sitting down, and I'm like, I don't really feel anything right now. And I'm like, you feel anything? And my buddy Dean was like, no. And then I tried to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And my body just refused to take any information from my brain and put it into action. So,
nice.
So I tried to stand up, and I managed to move a little bit and then fell face first onto the ground and couldn't get up. I just, like, flopped over, and then we were laughing really hard because it was funny as shit. And it just was like that for, like, the next 3 hours. Like, my body just would not respond to mental commands.
Boo-doo-deep.
Yeah.
Dan's body can't be reached right now.
Yeah. He is out to lunch.
Fucking, yeah. Robitussin, it's the most mental thing. Definitely, I've tried to, like, just cough syrup at night. Like, just, I've had dreams so fucked up that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take it easy on this. Like, yeah. Just going to take a regular sleep aid or something and pass out. Because it's just like I said, there's the methy ingredient that's in it.
Sure.
And then there's the other one that your body breaks down into, like, a hallucinogen, like, late at night. So basically the main ingredients are just acid and meth. Like, that's what fucking, your God's like, I know, we're going to make this cold have a real bad time. And then it's just going to want to leave your body. It's just going to be like, guys, I am partied out. This sucked. Man, I'm having a bad trip inside of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of here. Fucking, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's not great. Did you have a backup, Dan?
Well, Robitussin was my backup.
Cool, because Tylenol was my backup. So, fucking next topic.
I mean, I could mention, like, another drug that you can overdose on and get high on is Dramamine.
Yeah.
I've done that. I've done that a couple of times. Like,
oh,
because I was living in Bend, and for whatever reason, like, psychedelics were hard to come by sometimes, and I was just really into tripping.
Yeah.
So, when there was no acid to be found and no mushrooms to be found,
right,
we would just find other ways to get fucking super high.
Right.
So we were just eating whatever. Like, if you felt a little weird when you took one of them,
yeah,
if you took a bottle, we just assumed you'd feel super fucking weird.
Yeah.
And accurate. But in all cases, the high was not nearly as cool as just the actual drugs.
Yeah. I guess my backup would be Visine, because if you spray a whole bottle in your teacher's coffee, it makes them puke and shit their pants. Next topic!
Next topic.
Yeah, right. So Dan went first last time. I get to go first this time. Most metal, fucking lesser-known sport that's still played. I found a real doozy, you guys. I'm very happy about this. And I'm going to pronounce it perfectly because it's English. Royal Shrovetide Football was my choice. It's actually only really played in Ashbourne, England. It's been played since the 12th century. And basically, imagine rugby, but each team is exactly 50% of a town. So what it is it's literally the whole town gets together. And if you're born south of Henmore Brook, they are one team, you're the Downards. And if you're born north of Henmore Brook, then you're Upwards.
Yeah.
And then so one team kicking it downwards, one keeps kicking it upwards. And then the two goals are 3 miles apart on either side of the town.
Jesus Christ.
And so basically the game is just a slow-moving molasses flood of punches and headbutts.
Yeah.
While people just, you just basically tuck this ball in and people are punching you to get rid of it. And, like, so it's just a huge fucking, like, rugby scrum the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Hold on. I'm going to pull up okay, so here are the rules to Royal Shrove, whatever, fuck face. I'll look it up in a second. Here are the rules. One, committing murder or manslaughter is prohibited. So, can't kill. unnecessary violence is frowned upon. It's not. That's it. The ball may not be carried in a motorized vehicle. The ball may not be hidden in a rag, bag, coat, or rucksack. Cemeteries, churches, and the town memorial gardens are strictly out of bounds. Playing after 10 p.m. is forbidden, and the score ball must be tapped 3 times in the area goal. So basically, it's not like it's one long field.
Yeah.
It's through the town.
Sure.
So it gets, like, on top of people's cars, in the, their backyards. They just, it's just huge moving, like, and you just watch dudes just fist punching over top of each other and, like, yeah, as they're trying to, like, hug this ball in and, like, pass it to each other and shit. It's totally fucked up. But, yeah, so it's just two huge towns. They've been playing it probably since the 12th century. They know for a fact they have a ball from 1878 or something, and that's as far back as they can track it, like, whatever. But there's written in documents and stuff. They're, like, they explain stuff like that. So that is Royal want to look it up. Royal Shrovetide Football is what it's called.
All right.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, the game goes from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's like an 8-hour...
8-hour game?
8-hour punch fest. So, yeah, that's my choice.
Okay. That's a good one. My choice is a sport called bazkashi, which means goat pulling in Persian. It is the national sport of Afghanistan.
Nice.
It is played by 2 teams of mounted riders,
mm-hmm,
wearing armor and carrying whips.
Uh-huh.
And the point of it is to drag a decapitated goat carcass.
Yep.
Sometimes either until there's no one around you and then you get a point, or around a pole with a flag on it, and then back, and then throw the carcass into something called the Circle of Justice. it's usually, wow, it's usually 2 teams of like 27 people.
Nice.
The uniforms literally are armored helmet, armored boots, thick or leather clothing, and a riding whip. Then typically you carry in your mouth because you've got to use your hands to steer the horse,
mm-hmm,
hold the carcass, or punch dudes next to you.
Yeah.
The rules consist of whatever the fuck you want to do. Like, there's no real rules. There's no referees. So even if there are rules, no one gives a shit.
Right.
It is currently still played today.
What is this called again?
It is called bazkashi. B-U-Z. Mm-hmm. K-I-S-H-I. And it is, it typically, like, draws crowds of thousands.
Yeah.
There's sports, it's played in Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Kurdistan, and there's even a form of it in the United States, played by Afghani immigrants, but they, instead of a goat carcass, they use a fur-covered ball, which, not even the same fucking sport at that point. They used to use goats, and now what they do instead is behead a calf
and, good time,
and dunk it in super cold water for like a whole day so that it will hold together, because typically in a typical match, the decapitated goat will fall apart at some point, because matches can go for days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it takes a really long, like, they have to play to a certain score, whatever score they decided on, and they just play until that score is hit. So it can go on for a very long time.
Yeah, and if you remove the cap, all the insides are just going to come spilling out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, the head is already headless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and headless, and they take the limbs off.
They take the limbs off, too?
Sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Depending on whether or not it would be traditional.
Uh-huh.
They don't know when it started. It started sometime in, like, the 600s.
I like they just turned the whole bot. The chest is the football.
Right. Yeah.
It's basically, like...
They just made a soft, fleshy, giant football.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, it's fine. Yeah, it's just a...
Well, they didn't have ball-making technology when it was invented. So yeah, it's just.
I feel like they could have worked it out.
Yeah, they could have worked it out, but they didn't.
You had the leather. You just tan it. You know, may turn it into a ball, fill it full of dirt. You're fucking. You're
and
set.
They and it and it's believed to have been as popular as it is in Afghan culture, because it is in miniature, the struggle of all the clans trying to dominate one another.
Uh-huh.
So there's it. I mean, people die and shit. People get injured all the fucking time.
I'm sure.
Take a whip to the face. It's fucking mad. I watched a video of them playing it, and it looks like polo if polo wasn't for bitches.
You're right. Yeah.
It's just a fucking scrum. It's like rugby polo. It's fucking nuts. Absolute madness.
Give me the goat. Give me the goat. Yeah. Pass me the goat. Come on. God damn it. I'm wide open.
Yeah. The one thing I saw, it was like a, it was a BBC.
Goat me. Come on. Goat me. I'm open.
There's a video article on it, and they interviewed a guy who's like the best Bazkashi player in Afghanistan, and he makes no money at it, so he's a cab driver the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And then they, so the guy who owns the horse he rides is actually this wealthy fat dude.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yes, if you get injured in Baz, we put shot in arm to, we put shot in wound so it numbs the wound so you can keep playing. But this guy looks like he's never been on a horse. He's just this fucking old dick.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fucking
that
nuts.
Fucking rules. That was definitely on my list. I know it's like one of the premier sports of like Turkmenistan and
basically Eastern
Asia, like
Eastern Asia block.
Yeah, where, Eastern Central Asia.
Yeah, if they rode horses back in the day.
Yeah,
there's probably some version of it in Mongolia.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like there's a bunch of that. That was definitely what on my list because it fucking.
Yeah.
Rules.
It rules.
My backup, Dan and Randy. Mm-hmm. And but I do like, hold on. I do like the goat me. Come on. God
goat
damn
me, motherfucker.
It. God damn it. 3 points right here. My backup is a little sport called ferret legging.
did not find this one.
You did not find ferret legging. Well, let me tell you. Ferret legging is it's an endurance sport where ferrets are trapped in the trousers worn by participants, and you see who can stand it the longest.
Jesus.
You put wild ferrets in your pants and you just hang out and let them bite and gnaw at what the fuck ever for endurance. They say it. May have originated during a time when only the wealthy in England were allowed to keep animals, like, so, and then it, but it's still played. Let's see.
Played might be a bit strong on that one.
I think it is a kind of play. Let's see. In 1972, the ferret legging record stood at 40 seconds. I guess they're real vicious on balls and pee holes. I don't know if you know that. They just treat a pee hole like a
like a hole,
like a
hole. Home.
Yeah. Well, like a, I want to say like a blintz or something. Like they just really get like some of the hole in it. They dig in it. Okay. eventually, in 1977, Edward Simpkins from the Isle of Wight set a new record of 5 hours and 10 minutes. Although he only had one ferret in his trousers during the first 4 hours.
Added a second ferret?
Yes.
They added
a second ferret at... Oh, hold on. I just read this. They added a second ferret for the last 70 minutes. So there was two ferrets going on.
Yeah, because one of them must have got tired of just chewing on his dick.
Yeah. Let's see. And then now, I believe it's the record... the current record is... Christine Farnsworth, 2010, 5 hours and 30 minutes. So, and then raised $1,000 for Whittington Community first responders who probably had to patch
had
up.
To use it. Her, had to use that right away.
Her chewed up labes.
Yeah. I figured like, I'm surprised his name wasn't like Kendall O'Connor or whatever.
Old
flesh crotch.
Yeah.
Old skin crotch.
Vacant lot down below Murray. That's what we call him.
O'Malley.
O'Malley. yep. You just, I'm guessing they cuff the bottom of the pant leg so they can't escape. And you
oh,
just
yeah. Tie them off.
Two ferrets in there, and you just try to stone face it. You get on your Game Boy for a little bit, on your Nintendo Switch, and you just try to keep your mind off of getting your dick chewed on like a...
Yeah.
Like a soggy corn dog. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have a backup, Dan?
I have several.
yeah, me too.
I did find a lot of them. The one that I'm going to go with, because I just thought it was fucking hysterical, is Russian knight fighting.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Knight or knife?
Knight.
Okay.
So what it's an offshoot of MMA.
Okay.
And what it is dudes roll into the ring, dressed straight up like medieval knights, including shield and sword, and then just try to knock each other out. And I watched a match, and the video was called Most Violent Knockout in Russian Knight Fighting. And it was, because they were trying to swing swords, and one guy had a shield. And then one guy tackled the other guy onto the ground.
Yeah.
So the guy is in full armor, lying on the ground, full helmet. The dude gets up, puts his knee on his chest, then takes the edge of the shield and just starts punching the other guy in the head over and over and over again until it dents the fucking helmet. And then they call it off. They're like, we got to let it go until it's decided. This guy's got to tap out. He was obviously unconscious after the first swing, and they just let him go to town.
God damn.
It was fucking madness. It is absolutely insane. But also, like, you know how in Game of Thrones or whatever, there's a lot of, like people, like, skill involved in knife fighting?
Uh-huh.
There's no skill involved.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just who can swing the sword the hardest
yeah.
to smack your shield against your face. That's yeah. all they're really trying to do. In fact, I'm honestly surprised that it isn't just played with dudes with warhammers.
Yeah.
Like, that would make the most sense.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen footage of it, and it's all brute force.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no cling-clanging back and forth with swords and shit.
No,
like,
they don't even use their sword to deflect the other sword.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just shield or your fucking side. You're just taking the sword hit
yeah.
on a part of your body that hurts less.
Because it doesn't make any sense. I feel like a sword, the whole point is just trying to get through a chink in the armor and stab.
Yeah.
It's like the entire point. Like, because you're hitting the guy with it, but like, you want like a... Yeah, you just, like, unless it's a heavy claymore, which is like a flat sledgehammer. So yeah. something like that. You want something, like, concussive. You want a blunt force weapon
yeah.
to smash a dude with. I do like the idea of trying to tap in armor, though.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll simply move my 40-pound arm. Gently tap. I will certainly tap with my weighed down limbs. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think that's fucking great. Pang. Okay, I'm just gonna hold on. Just like pang, pong, ping. I'm just guys. Just give me 5 seconds. Pang, pang, pang. I'm just trying to give me a second. Pang, 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 ping, pong. Just give me I just try to think for pang.
Yeah.
There's a bee in my helmet. Pang,
pang, pang, pang, pang.
There's a ferret in these pants.
Oh God, that would be a great mashup.
There we go. We mixed the two.
Night fight ferret. Trouser ferret knife fighting. Night fighting.
Hell yeah.
Or just call, how about just...
Yeah. Plang, 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 plang. Love it.
Bolivian knife fighting. I just think that's not a sport, but it would be funny.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I'm sure there's an unofficial league, but the tournaments usually result in only one person alive.
Yeah, the fight... You knock a guy out, and then a ferret chews his dick off.
Yeah.
You know, because for comfort... another one I found that's fucking amazing, and if you can find video of it on YouTube, and I suggest that you do, is a Japanese sport called Bo Taoshi, and it's Japanese pole toppling. Now, it's two teams, right? There's an attacker and a defender.
Yeah.
Defending team, they have their team surrounded. There's a pole. It's like a big wooden, I mean, it's probably like 6 inches wide. It's just a wooden pole. The team holds it up, and another team tries to knock that pole over. So you're trying to push through the defenders. Each team is 150 people. So it's massive. And what happens is the dudes run like up, like, so they have like the people around it, like, you know, like trying to, and there's people holding it. Then there's people on the people holding its shoulders, holding it at the top.
Yeah.
And then the one team will just run into them at full speed. And then, however they get clung up, then the next wave will run up the backs of the people already tied up. And then, and they'll climb on top. And so it's just people climbing on top of each other and on top of each other.
So it's a game of ant stacking.
Trying to grab the end of this pole and like weigh it down off the side and tip it over. It fucking rules to watch.
Wow. That's
like, if
crazy.
It was like something like, I don't know. Next time, like, I wish I had known about it before I went to Japan. I'm sure it's a summer sport, so I'm sure it wasn't being played. But, man, I would have fucking watched the shit out of it. Like,
yeah,
if it was
awesome
something, yeah, if there was a league or something, it's fucking cool. Like, I really loved it. It's like, yeah. They love the pole.
Yeah.
There we go. Sweet, easy joke.
Easy joke. Pole toppling.
Yep.
It's what they call fucking in Japan.
It is.
You toppled your pole right into her.
You, yes. Took 150 men, but you did it.
You did it. I just want to mention that there's a sport called chess boxing. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yep. Yep. Alternating rounds of boxing and chess.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But it's not as cool to watch as you might imagine.
I'm.
But there was one other one that I found that is played exclusively in Florence, Italy.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
It's called Casillo Storico.
Yep.
It's been played for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 1200s, I think. And it is a form of rugby crossed with MMA fighting.
Yep.
So there's like, it's rugby, except when I was watching,
yeah,
like half the time people who didn't have the ball would just square up and start throwing punches at one another.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Beat the shit out of each other.
And then they would, like, the other guys would drop a dude, put him in a fucking hold, and then like just to tie him up while other people are trying to fucking get the ball in the goal.
It was crazy. It's an absolutely violent, it's the most violent sport I've ever seen. And, but it's between four neighborhoods in Florence.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they're just like, but we're just all from Florence.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of brings the community together. Like, sure, the neighborhood's all like, I'm green and I'm blanco, light blanco or whatever.
Yeah.
There's red, green. Light blue and one other color.
Puke.
I think white.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it was, but if you merge them all together, it forms a color called Florentine, which is a form of purple.
Oh, okay.
So it's just fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, just the one video I saw, like, at least half the people had, like, bleeding from the head.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the body and shit.
Yeah, just massive dudes beating the shit out of each other. It's
massive.
Fucking gnarly.
Like, covered in fucking tats.
There was an old quote from, like, whatever, the 1500s or some shit, or some, they're playing it, and some visiting dude, like, saw it, and he said it was too small to be a war and too violent to be a sport. Like,
yeah.
Which I was like, that fucking rules. Like,
yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. And that about sums it up, too. Yeah. It's fucking, it's, you just watch it going, man, what the fuck? Just let two of these guys fight and let me watch. Like, the rest of this is, like, unnecessary. But it's fucking, real gnarly.
Yeah, we're going to have to post clips of all the sports we've talked about. There's YouTube clips of all of them.
Yeah, they're
so
fucking.
So we'll put them up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, totally fucking
crazy. I don't know
crazy.
If we can do it on Instagram or not. I have no idea how to do that.
Nah, we can figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
I mean, we could probably do a short clip of just the most violent act.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the second topic there. That's a lesser known sport. I chose the one that's hard to fucking remember. Royal Shrovetide football. Dan chose
Buzaki.
Oh, Buzaki.
Buzkashi.
Buzkashi. Yes,
Buzkashi.
That's right. That's right.
Goat pulling. If you want it to be
good old goat pulling.
The good old goat pull.
And then the first topic, Dan chose Tylenol.
Extra strength Tylenol from 1982. Chicago area.
Yep. And I chose Robitussin in general. Robitussin, yeah. Nighttime specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll put those up, hopefully, next week. And then you can vote on them. And that'll bring us to polls. We didn't do polls. So,
whoops.
And by we, I mean me. I fucked up. I was too busy not doing shit and didn't do it. So, we'll try to do them next week. We'll do a double batch of polls and we'll see who won.
Sure.
From last week's episode. But again, you're lucky. It's a privilege to vote. Honestly, it's a privilege. You should feel proud that I even do it every once in a while. I'm your king. Look, I think that's gonna move us right along into our new favorite segment, Ride the Lightning Round.
Ride the Lightning Round.
All right, this is the Ride the Lightning Round. This is where producer Randy goes on Wikipedia. He hits the random button.
Yep.
Two times. Not once, not three times, two times.
Two times.
Also not
Happy
four
number.
Times.
Yeah.
Not five times. Not six times. Two times.
Two
not
times.
Seven times. Not eight times. Not nine times. Two times. Only two times. Not
two
ten times. Not 11 times. He does it two times only. 12. Not 12 times. No, not at all. Two. And one. He does it one time and then two times.
Yeah.
For a total of two.
Yeah, because one comes before two.
That's right.
It would be cool if he could do two times simultaneously,
yeah.
So it just brought up two things at once, but
yeah.
That's not how the internet works.
Yeah. Two times he hits the random button
yeah.
on Wikipedia, it pulls up two different articles, and then Dan and I will choose which of those, between the two, which one is the most metal. Producer Randy, give us what you got.
I got two. Count them, two.
Only.
Articles. Only.
Okay. All right.
Oh, nice callback. Nice callback, King Reader. Fucking what are the two articles?
Oh, here we go. Not 13 times.
Or 20, really, if you want to get right down to
I
it.
I was going in, yeah.
I know you were going in increments
I was gonna get
of
there.
One.
I was
going to
get there.
I beat you to it.
All right, that's
it's
true.
Seven more steps. He was going to get there.
I was going to get there.
Okay. Time one.
No. Do it.
Pedro Folk de Cardona.
Oh, my favorite.
Folk de Cardona?
Pedro Folk de Cardona.
All right.
Yes.
And the second one, Christy Haas.
Christy Haas.
Ah.
The avocado queen.
Yeah.
Christy Haas. Boy, I'm going to have to go Christy Haas because,
yeah.
Like I said, in South America, I believe in, it's just south, central southern Mexico, the more tropical area.
Sure.
Christy Haas, the Haas family, owned yeah. a giant avocado plantation.
Sure.
And she had huge green boobs. So she just a side effect of eating avocados all the time.
Every day.
But she did single-handedly repel a group of avocado pirates, which are all over the
everywhere.
Region. Yeah, avocado everywhere. Poachers. They came over the hillside single-handedly with a Gatling gun and a single katana, fought off a whole armada of avocado poachers. And that's
yeah.
why Christy Haas is the avocado queen
yeah.
Of Mexico.
That event is immortalized in the Rammstein song, Du Hasch.
Du Hasch, right.
Du Hasch mich.
Du Hasch, of course. That is about Rammstein. Or about her.
About Christy Haas.
From Rammstein.
Murdering a bunch of avocado pirates.
That's right. Well, they
and
they,
also, I mean, in German,
their ships run on the oil.
Yeah, do in
of
in
the
German,
avocado oil.
In German, Du Hasch mich means, give me avocado toast.
That's true. That is what that means.
Yeah,
we all
it does
know that.
Now because the Rammstein yeah. did the song before. It
right.
just meant Haas is rad, and then it was
yeah.
like, oh, well, now we know it means
yeah.
I want my avocado toast.
Yeah,
now please.
Yeah,
Wiz Mish.
And then as a little button on it, he pees on the crowd.
Yeah.
From the front row.
Yeah.
It's a little fun thing. I don't know if you've ever seen a Rammstein show.
I have not.
Oh, do yourself a...
He does
avocado flavored
flavor. He urinates avocado flavoring.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Avocado extract.
He drinks a lot of avocado oil before the show,
mm-hmm.
and then he just
and he jerks off on toast.
Yeah. And then, yeah, because it's like pineapple. If you eat a lot of avocado, your cum tastes like avocado.
Yeah. He's like 9, 9, 9 guacamole.
Du hast mich.
Dan.
So,
Pedro
Folk
Day.
Pedro Folk Day Cardona.
Cardona.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was when a dude named Pedro.
Oh, okay.
Pedro.
Okay.
This
wasn't going where I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Pedro fucked the Cardona. The Cardona being the hottest lady.
Oh yes,
in his region of Mexico.
So this is a typo.
She's the Cardona.
No. Yeah, that's how.
Or is that Spanish for fuck?
It's Spanish for fuck. Yeah. Pedro fuck de Cardona.
He fuck
de Cardona.
He fucks of the Cardona.
Is she muy bonita? Sí, she is the Cardona of the area.
Yeah, it's a title.
Yeah.
The Cardona of what
our
region I'm in.
Yeah.
And then Pedro fucked him.
Yeah.
Fucked her.
Yeah. And then that's like always commemorated in
Cinco de Mayo.
In Cinco de Mayo. Yeah.
That's really the secret of Cinco. Yeah. That's Cinco de Mayo actually stands for.
Yeah. Oh, and also the song La Bamba was how good the sex was.
Yeah.
It was the bomb.
It was La Bamba.
It was the bomb.
It was
like,
the bomb.
Great. I love that's
I'm gonna go with that one. That's
okay.
The most metal
that's
one,
pretty good
as far
that's
as I'm
good.
Concerned
Randy, what the fuck were we just talking about?
Okay, we'll start with that one. Pedro Folk de Cardona, an illegitimate son of Jean Ramon Folk de Cardona y Prades, third
oh my
count,
god he cheated
third count of Colombia, was bishop of Urgel, president of the Generalist of Catalonia, editor of Ustagues de Barcelona.
Never miss an episode.
Viceroy of Catalonia.
Issue.
And Archbishop of Tarragona.
Tarragona.
So he was the illegitimate son of that dude that did all that shit? Or did he do all that shit?
He did all that shit.
Okay.
He was the, Christy Haas.
Oh, okay.
Little shorter.
Uh-huh.
Was an Austrian alpine skier.
Ah.
She competed in the 1964 and 68 Winter Olympics.
Well, keyword search avocado. I'm pretty sure you're missing something.
Yeah.
Okay. Cross country?
Alpine.
Alpine skier. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great.
Well, we were wrong.
Yes. Oh, big surprise.
Man, I can't believe that we got those two things wrong.
I think you were still...
I was close.
I think you're still the winner.
I'm willing to bet that dude, the Pedro guy, probably did fuck the hottest lady in his region, considering all the power he had.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
I think you're right.
Pedro does fuck.
But he was an archbishop, so probably was a child.
I forget about that song.
See, that was back in the day before they really considered that illegal, so they were like, it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Catholics only recently started fucking kids because we told them they couldn't.
That's too bad.
Right?
Yep. Okay. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have Marc Foucault.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And the Brackley Whale. God damn. The Brackley Railway Station.
Oh, my God.
The Brackley Railway Station.
Yeah. It's a portal to hell.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
First of all, the location of the great Brackley Rail Station Massacre.
That's true.
That we all know about.
Yes, absolutely.
But it was only there because everyone was possessed by demons coming out of the fucking hellhole that's underneath it.
Right. It's actually, most of that railway station has now been pulled into the earth at this point. And then there is a hole in there. There's recordings of it just screaming like Slayer songs coming out of a fiery hole. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Expendable youth.
Just way down there. Yeah, yeah. It's way down there. You have to change the frequency down to like the lower frequencies, but you can hear Rain and Blood.
Yeah, if you lower a microphone in there, you're going to hear some really metal shit.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. You're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Brackley Railroad Station, known for its shitty broccoli and that railway station, like that area, Brackley,
yeah, for sure.
Brackley, Illinois.
Yeah, because it's
black broccoli that no one likes.
And it comes with, it's brambly. It has fucking thorns on it.
It does. It makes your cum smell like a fart. It's not good.
Essentially inedible. It's inedible.
Yeah, that
Brackley, you know?
Yeah, Brackley. Gross. Yeah, it definitely was like, I mean, that is also because of the portal to hell.
It has
poisoned the earth for miles around. So, I mean, you're going to grow some broccoli. You know what I mean?
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. It's weird. It's always cloudy and red there, too, which is...
It is super strange.
It is, yeah.
Do not go.
Don't go to the Brackley Railway Station. Oh, and then, of course... the other topic.
Mark Foucault.
Mark
I'm guessing
Foucault.
That's how you pronounce it.
Foucault?
Foucault. Spelled F-O-U-C-A-N, but he's French.
F-U,
yeah, you're right.
F-O-U-C-A-N.
C-A-N.
Foucault. Yeah.
Foucault.
Foucault.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even pronounce the last name. If it's French, the N wouldn't even be.
Yeah, exactly. Foucault.
Foucault.
Yeah, Foucault.
Foucault.
Con. Foucault. Foucault, you piece of shit, people would often say.
Yeah.
Michael Foucault?
Mark.
Mark. Oh, Mark. His brother. Okay. So, Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Mark Foucault is, of course, the first guy who made a flying machine. It was a Zeppelin, but it was made entirely out of foreskins. It was dried foreskins. You made like a leathery dirigible out of it.
Yeah, but interesting footnote.
Uh-huh.
He got all those foreskins during the French Revolution off of rich dudes.
No.
So he would pull those foreskins after the guillotine.
Right.
He'd roll up, tear a foreskin off, and everybody's like, Mark, what are you doing? And he's like, you'll see.
Yeah.
And then eventually...
You take a tip, I take a tip. Wow.
You take one end, I take the other. Right. Then he built a dirigible out of it.
Yeah.
And floated around as if a giant.
A dong-rigible.
He built a dong-rigible. And then flew around just taunting all the rest of them. Like, your compatriots built this balloon.
Yeah.
You fucking.
Yeah.
You float. Your dick floats my body.
Years later, though, when they were studying it, they realized that what he constituted as a foreskin was mostly whole penises.
Yeah.
So he was cheating. They were like, Mark Foucault, you cheat. You know you cheat. This is this is entire dick. I see it on the side.
Well,
this is not foreskin.
He would peel it.
Right.
He wasn't, but it wasn't like the inner part, because that would make a poor dirigible.
Right, but it was just the foreskin. It was like...
It was the whole, all the skin.
Yes. It was the entire sheath, if you will.
Yeah, and then when it got cold, he would have to land because it would shrink.
When it got too high up, it got cold, and he'd have to land it. He would lose buoyancy.
Yeah, but you know, every
lift.
Once
he
in
would
a while,
lose lift.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
but it also part of what made it buoyant was ladies with big tits.
That's true. That's true.
It would expand to the point where it would can actually fly.
Oh, nice. His brother Michael Foucault made one out of ball sacks, and that one was. Even when it was warm out and it could fly, it kind of undulated the whole time endlessly. You ever seen that, Randy? There's our ball stack kind of undulates endlessly.
Yeah.
It won't stop kind of juggling itself. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how Michael Foucault, his brother's ball sack dirigible, flew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it unfortunately burned.
It did.
That's how mine flies, too.
Yeah.
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 Lots of undulation.
A lot of undulation.
And oscillation.
It got sunburned at the top, which is just a...
Which is never what you want.
Not what you want at all.
You don't want a peeling dirigible.
You don't want that at all.
You don't want a dong rigible.
No, you don't want a peeling dong rigible.
The last thing you want to do is be up there applying lotion on
undulating ball sack material.
Yeah.
It turns out scrote is not a good building material.
No, no, far from it.
I believe I can't believe how I believe the ball sack is what's called the winged wrinkle was the name of it. Yeah, and yeah.
Was it was that? Called a ball imp.
Ball limp. Oh, the technical name, yeah.
It was technically called a ball limp.
A ball limp, yeah. Yes. Or a balloon.
A balloon, yeah,
a balloon.
Sure.
And, yes, and people said he was nuts. But then, yeah, a forest sky. Anyway.
A forest sky? That's pretty good.
Randy, what were we just talking about?
Marc Foucault is a French athlete who specializes in the 400 meters.
So his grave will go unmarked.
He specializes in that sport that's just between the two cool ones.
Yes, the 400 meters. The gold medal winners always write their obituaries in dry erase. Because who gives a shit?
Yeah, right. Unmarked graves, and the medal is just a plastic trinket. Like, good job, I guess.
Right, for sure.
Wow, you ran the most boring distance. 100-meter dash, really great.
Yeah.
The 800-meter dash, pretty much a long distance. That's kind of interesting, two laps. But the 400-meter, that's just one boring round trip around the track.
The 400-meter pedestal thing they stand on is actually it's in the Olympics. It's placed right in the shadow of the better races, like in front of a much larger, better race podium. So,
Usain Bolt famously used one as a toilet.
Yeah, I think that's true.
He won and he was like, "This is what I think of you," and then just shit on the gold medal stand.
Yeah.
For the 400-meter.
Absolutely.
Barely a dash.
Yeah. I bet Usain Bolt shits like a cannon. Like, I bet it just comes blasting out of those taut buttocks.
Oh, God.
Just comes like, just woof. He could launch a turd that could dent a car door, for sure.
Probably.
For sure. What was the other one?
The Brackley Railway Station.
Uh-huh.
Was a railway station that served Northamptonshire
out
of Brackley in England.
Of course.
Wow. That is a mystery. Would have never guessed that it was a railway station for a town of Brackley.
Yeah. Oh.
Hard to imagine.
Goddamn. Guys, I think that's the episode.
Yep.
This has been a fun one. Hope you learned nothing. I hope you learned nothing today.
Yeah.
I hope we taught you something and then you'd immediately erased it from your brain.
Yeah.
Be sure to go online and fucking, dude, tell a couple of friends about the podcast. Fucking talk it up to a buddy.
Sure.
Put it on a long car ride with a passenger who can't escape. And yeah, but we're just trying to bump up these numbers and get more people involved. We love doing it and want you to listen and want more people to listen to. So make sure you do that. Anything, Dan?
Nope.
Nothing coming up?
This week is pretty, I'll be in Lincoln City next weekend.
Fuck
but
yeah. Lincoln City, Yorkshire, England, where, Brackley is from.
Well, we got to pass the Brackley station to get there.
We do.
So a little nervous about that. But anyway, yeah. This won't come out until Monday. So, that's the only thing I've got next week, actually.
Okay. The 27th of June, Cool Kids Patio Show's coming back.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that.
Yes, right. Dan Weber is doing that. Dan Weber, Shane Brandon, a couple other people. I believe Koopenbender's on that.
Cool.
Yep, Chris Koopenbender, Amanda Arnold. 27th, June 27th. So come on out to that.
Yep.
Maybe me and DJ Dina B hosting. It's going to be real fucking fun. So come do that.
Yep.
Right, that's it. See you later, everybody. Hope you had a good time. Hail Satan.
Yep. Hail Satan, hail everybody. Satan. Bye.